So, hey everybody, it's Michael DeSilvis, and we're back with another rendition of our show. Let me tell you a story. I went to a church, and I guess I went there for 3 weeks, Church of Christ here, and in an old church. It was called Old Ford Church of Christ. It was a nice church. The minister was nice. At least the people seemed rather nice, but I was only there for like 3 weeks. And, and then they said, well, we just can't come and pick you up anymore because we just don't have too many people that will ride. And, we don't have no elderly. We have elderly people here, but I don't want to really ask them to put that on them. I said, well, that's okay. I mean, if they volunteer and they do it, I don't think you're really putting nothing on them, but I can understand where you're coming from. But, I mean, I don't think you'd be putting anything on anybody if you asked them. So, but if that's, how you feel, then I understand. But I was just, it'd be nice. Might give some of the old ladies something to do other than just, come in. And they could get to know me better, and it might be a good thing for everybody. But he said, well, I don't want to do that, you understand. I said, yeah, I kind of do, but I kind of don't, because I don't know if it would really, it's like you're making it sound like it's an obligation, and maybe some of it would be, but really, I don't see where it would really put them out to come pick me up, since they all live, a lot of them live right here in Washington, North Carolina. Near where I live or around where I live, so it's not really out of their way or really put too much on them. But anyway, I just said okay. So he said, just go look for another church. So I asked my chiropractor when I was there. She told me about a church, and it was called, I think she actually goes to that church as well, but that church is called Hall Branch Church of Christ. I think it would be better if they called it Olive Branch Church of Christ, but I guess there's probably some kind of historical significance or some reason why it's called Hall Branch. It may be the area where they are here in North Carolina. But anyway, I've called those people 2 times, gave my name, gave my number, and they said they would get back with me, as the secretary did. And last week when I was at the chiropractor's office getting my weekly tune-up, I'll call it, I was on the massager table, and, my neck got wet. I guess because I was sweating, but normally it doesn't get wet, but because it was warmer that day, I started sweating profusely, and I had these electrodes, massaging electrode things, and they don't usually bother you, but that thing really shocked me really, really good on the back of my neck because it got wet, and it scared me to death. I mean, it didn't really hurt me, but it really gave me a jolt there, a lot more than usual. I might have a little mark back there. I'm not sure. It feels like there's something back there, but I can't tell, but it'll go away. But, I didn't know it was going to do that because my neck, when I put it on there, it wasn't sweaty, but it was because of the heat table that I was on. That's why I got sweaty. But it was not nobody's fault. It's just that's what happened. So I just took it off my neck, and then the thing stopped, doing an electro pulse, because when I removed one of them, it stopped the, evidently, its safety, it stopped it from doing it. So, and it was beeping. And then she came in there, and I yelled, that thing shocked me, because it did, ow. And it was shocking me, so, and I told her what happened, and then she said, oh, well, that's okay. I said, yeah, no, I'll try it again. I'll just make sure I'm not sweating, I'll make sure I'm not wearing no big sweatshirt, because you just never know about the weather. So anyway, I was just sitting back there, and I figured, well, after that incident, I'll call the church, Hall Branch Church of Christ, to see if I could get a ride for this Sunday, like I did last week. And evidently the secretary must be the wife of the singer, because I just said, well, I probably shouldn't have done it this way, but I said, you know, I guess because I got shocked and all, but I don't mean nothing by this, and I know it sounds kind of funny, but when I was listening to the church on the website, I was watching the video, I liked what I saw, but one thing that really got to me a little bit, what really sounded off was that, you know, apparently that must be her husband who was singing up there. But I said, this guy, he sounds like he's off by about a half a key. He's flat, you know, and every song he did, he sounded off. So I don't know if that's the way he normally sings or if that's just because of where he was standing on the stage where the monitor was. Because sometimes if you don't hear the sounds very well, and it could, some certain spots on the stage sometimes can really make it sound sort of flat. And it can really be hard to hear, depending on where they have the monitors located or actuated on the stage. And sometimes you might not be able to hear people very well sometimes. I don't know. I've been in some places where people could be standing a foot or right next to you. And sometimes just because the way the surfaces are in the auditorium or in the congregational place where people assemble for worship, it's just up there on the stage, the sound is horrible. Even with monitors, it's just hard to hear. And so, you know, maybe that can cause people to have singing issues, and that might be it. It might have been where he was standing, who knows. But I just said, you know, I don't mean anything no harm, but he sounded a little off. And I'm wondering if he's like that in all the videos. So, because I heard it in one, and then, you know, the guy, I don't know who was running the sound, but I didn't say this on the phone, but whoever's running the sound, when you're doing a live stream video, you need to make sure that stuff's queued up and not wait till somebody gets up there to sing. And then when they start singing, you're a little slow to the take when they're already starting to sing, because it doesn't make the video look good when you're streaming it out. You know, you want to make sure it's, you have the volume there, but just have it low and then just turn it back up when they get there. That way when they sing, you know, when they start playing, you should have everything queued up or at least turned on the board. You know, you shouldn't, there should not be any spaces. But anyway, but so she said she would, since she's the wife of that guy, I guess it's probably they didn't call me back because they got sensitive and they got insensitive, and she probably didn't give him the message because she didn't like me saying something about her husband being off-key, probably. But I wasn't being mean by it, but she acted like a little kid instead of like a grown lady. Like a lot of people, they get so sensitive just because you say something. And because you're not there, well, you hear something. It doesn't mean, I wasn't trying to be sensitive. I was just trying to help. That's what I exclaimed to her on the phone. So she's gladly, hey! So she gladly took my number. And she said she would get back to me, you know, as soon as she could. But I never got no call on either one of my voicemail on, you know, either, you know, my number where I called her on, and I gave her that number, and she never called me back. So I guess they didn't like what I said, which I shouldn't have been offended. It's just really weird, you know, because I'd never been to churches where you call them up and then they, you know, they'll tell you you need to get a ride there three times before we can even find a ride for you. And, you know, that was one, that was another church. And then I called, you know, Hall Branch Church of Christ. They don't seem too Christ-like because they never got back to me. They say they have a van there. And I said, could you make sure this message when I called six times that it gets to Jeff so that I can have a ride? Of course, after I told her all that, I guess it never got anywhere. So anyway, I guess they don't want to pick me up. I don't know. It's really weird, man. Or somebody called them up and said something, because it's kind of weird how I can't get a ride there either. So and nobody's calling me back. So it's just real weird. It's like somebody said something. You know, I don't know what's going on there, but I didn't do anything wrong, but it's just people like to run their little mouth, you know, and say things they have no reason to be saying and making things up. And they call these churches, and it's just kind of weird because where I go everywhere else, I never had these issues in Virginia, where I used to live. And down here, it's a small town, and a lot of people like to run their mouth. And evidently, that might be what they're doing. They're listening to the gossipers. So I haven't done anything wrong. The only thing I did was call them up to get around.
10 a.m.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. All I did was just call these churches up to get a ride, but it seems weird how they won't return my calls or they won't, you know, reciprocate back. I don't understand what's going on in this town here. But in North Carolina, I don't know what the world is going on with these people, but it's just really not, don't seem too Christ-like. But anyway, you know, I called two times. I shouldn't have to call two times, but, you know, I'm not going to call them anymore because I called twice. No messages, no avail. They have my phone number. They have my name. And they have not returned my phone call, so I don't know what to do. But anyway, I think somebody's going around doing that, so I'll get discouraged and move down to Georgia or move to Virginia, I think. Somebody's doing that because they're just trying to see if I'll move. But, you know, I don't think it's Christ that isn't working here. I think it's the people in the area and what people have said, you know, about you. Somebody running their mouth like they always do about things they have no business or know anything about. And that seems to be most of what's going on. And it seems like that because usually when you call a church, they usually call you right back. You know, unless there's a unsightly reason. Meanwhile, there was a mist. We're going to go to a different topic here. But anyway, that's what I've experienced here in this town. I don't know what it is, but it just seems very strange in how these churches are acting around here. Regarding that. But anyway, let's go to another topic. Meanwhile, yesterday morning, Greenville was without power until sometime afternoon. They have not said, at least that's what they're telling everybody, what caused the outage. They didn't say it was a cyber attack. They didn't say it was due to any system hardware or software failure. But there was a power outage for at least 4 hours yesterday, from 8 to a little bit afternoon, a little bit over in Greenville. And yet it's been restored yesterday, thank the Lord. But all the residents of Greenville were without electricity for at least 2 or 3 or 4 hours at the most yesterday morning. And no one said anything hee-haw hum about it. To me, it looks more like, it could have been related to a lot of things. Could have been the sun. It could have been a cyber attack, could have been a power overload by a cyber attack. We don't really know. Meanwhile, news also talk about the internet and thousands of millions of families that have the affordable connectivity program may lose their internet access if Congress doesn't vote more money into the program to extend it after May. So in May is when it's going to end. The last month is in April, unless they add more money before May. And, you know, a lot of times, usually with programs, you know, sometimes they come and go. But what I've noticed also in history, they just wait for a while before they add the money before they go ahead and redo the bill or re-amend it. They'll wait till the very last minute. So that might be what they do with this, because it has helped millions of people that are on the affordable connectivity program. And meanwhile, Trump says and threatens that he's going to reappeal the Affordable Care Act bill. Because, you know, really, when I talked about this on my other show on Facebook, on Facebook Live and on XM Radio, and of course give an update on that today because this will go over there on there as well. But on there, he talks about repealing the Affordable Care Act because there ain't nothing there. They really, when you look at, examine the bill and you read it, because you can go online and get these PDFs of all these bills, they really, when you look at it and you read it, there's nothing affordable in there. It actually makes everything go up in price, and there's not really any affordable, nothing affordable about the Affordable Care Act. So, yeah, I would definitely reappeal and stop that program, too, because it just made everything go up higher and made everything cost more for health care and things, because that's what's in that bill. And it really, it's not really helping anybody when people are out of work and people are having a hard time finding work. People are trying to find work and trying to do things, you know. And it's just hard on people. And then when you raise the prices and you say you're introducing an Affordable Health Care Act bill when it's nothing affordable about it, you know, it just makes the price go up a lot more. And it's just hard, makes it a lot harder on the people in general who are low income and poor. That's the ones that are getting hit, mostly affected by this. I mean, anytime they make a bill where the prices go up, it's always affecting the poor people, the indigent people, or the low class people. You know, it also affects the middle class people a little bit, but it mostly affects the low income or the real poor people, indigent people. And it's not right why they always seem to do this with these bills. I don't know why most of the time, especially when Democrats get in there. I don't know why. But, you know, they say they're trying to help people, and it really isn't true. They're not helping anybody, you know, except helping line their pockets by taking from the poor and the indigent among us. And to me, that's unjust. I mean, if they really want to help people, just make it, you know, help everybody. Don't just pat the backs of the upper middle class and rich echelons of the population, but why not make a bill that's reasonable for everyone, where, you know, where the low income doesn't get affected or the poor, but yet the upper middle class who can afford stuff and the rich, you know, take it out of them, you know, instead of going after all the poor people and the low income people. I don't, you know, to me, it doesn't make any sense to me, you know, because every time they write these bills, they always come after those groups of people, and it's so, and it's wrong on so many levels, because they don't have a lot of money as it is, you know, but they always seem to go after those types of people, you know. And it just seems to be that way, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It does. But, you know, but it is true. It is true, you know. But, you know, but the thing is, you know, with people, we got to be fair and base. But, you know, when the Democrats get in there, they always are going after and sucking more money out of the poor people. And that's so wrong. They always do it all the time, every time they get in there. And they jack everything way up. Anytime they get in there, it's always like that. And it makes it really hard on everybody. It's like they're, like, wanting to go after the poor people and punish. It's like they punish the poor people, like they don't want us to exist, is they keep coming after us with all these new taxes and bills. And yet, you know, they say, oh, it ain't for the poor people. It's not. The Affordable Care Act, it's just going to help people. But it ain't helping nobody, because they're even poorer than they were before they even put the bill, the Affordable Care Package bill, before they put it into law. So they need to overturn this bill, not just reappeal it, but just stop it. Yeah, that's what they really need to do. And, you know, because it's not helping the poor people. And it's not, and of course, it, you know, connectivity program would be nice. I hope they extend that. That would be a good thing for poor people. Because a lot of people can't afford internet, especially here in North Carolina. Who, a lot of them are very poor, mostly in the population, and elderly. So it would really be a good thing for North Carolina, especially residents, because I live here. And, you know, it would be nice to see them have internet, you know, that would be affordable, that they could get and keep this program going and not let it just go over to the wayside, because that's a program that actually is doing good. But anyway, did you see all the rain we got on Saturday? The Northeast got snow up there in Maine and New York, but like the Southeast, we all got pummeled with lots of rain. Some people got some thunderstorms yesterday, but we just here we just got rain. I mean, it came down in buckets, man, and I'm not exaggerating. It rained all day just about yesterday. We probably got about 3 or 4 inches here where I live in Washington. However, the way it came down, though, you know, usually it floods that street up there near the Speedway, where it usually floods there before you turn into the plaza there. They call it a mall, but I call it a plaza because that's really what it is. But anyway, right there in that spot, it usually floods out, and you can't, you know, ride there when the water's deep because, it's up about 3 or 4 inches, 5 inches, and it's just there, and then it drains off slowly, you know, when it rains real heavy. But the way the rain came in, it came in spurts, so it never flooded there, which was good from people what they're talking to here who live here in the complex. And, but, you know, it was a lot of rain. That's all I could say. But like I say, it seems like we're getting April and March, and then February was March, you know, with all the wind. And now March is April. It's like we're a month ahead of schedule. All the trees got blooms on them. They all got little flowers and leaves starting to bloom on them now. Pollen's definitely out. It's like something you see in April, but it's in March. It's a weird phenomena going on. It's like I always said, I don't care what the groundhog says. He was definitely wrong this year when it came to winter, because we're actually having spring earlier this year. Even though the groundhog said we would have a longer winter, but that's not true. And the way the signs of what, you know, what God shows to all the plant life and all foliage shows it's coming early, because the way everything looks outside, which is great. I guess it's good, but it's not good for all the allergy sufferers who live among us. But hopefully maybe Hall Branch or Olive Branch Church will show an Olive Branch or Hall Branch to me and allow me to attend church there on Sunday. It would be great. You never know. Maybe the lady at the chiropractor's office might pick me up and take me there if she goes there. I think she goes there, because she's the one that was telling me that man who sings up on stage is her husband, Subterry's husband. I had no idea, but who knows? We'll see what happens. Maybe that's just all in my mind, but it just seems weird how they're being that way. You know, when I call them, you know, usually they say, sure, we'll pick you up, and then, but they don't say that. They just say, well, we'll call you back, and then they never call you back. You know, either they're forgetful, and then you get a better staff in there or something. I don't know, but then you get their act together, you know. If Jesus were to come and want to ride to church, you know, they probably would do the same way to him, because they wouldn't be able to know it was really Jesus in the modern day, you know. If an angel of the Lord came and was riding that bus, that van, and wanted to get on that van for transport to get a ride, they'd probably snub him that way too, the way they're doing me, you know, and they wouldn't even know it was an angel of the Lord. But they're not getting a very good grade, I tell you that, from what I'm seeing. As far as that goes. But anyway, like I said, you know, Churches of Christ are really good places. I love the Church of Christ. I've been in the Church of Christ since I was a child. But, you know, I've never had this kind of experience like I'm having here in North Carolina. I don't know, this kind of, you call up people and they just don't return your phone calls, and they say they're going to, but they don't. I don't know. It's just really weird. Anyway. But, you know, I know God is definitely in me, definitely that. Holy Spirit is alive and well, and he is definitely implanted, and he's activated in me, very much so, and I'm very on fire for the Lord. And, you know, sometimes I think that scares people down here because they're a little slower and up as far as the way they move around and stuff. And if you had somebody coming into church, I think it's what happened in old Ford Church. They were too old. Their engine was too old to, and they, the people there mostly were too old, and they couldn't deal with the young blood of somebody like me in there who could stir up and get some new blood in there to keep that church afloat, you know, because everybody's getting older and more people are dying there. And I was hoping, you know, I could go there to help bring in some new younger people as well, because a lot of people like that, you know, when they go to church. But, we'll see what happens. You know, I'm not giving up. I don't give up easy at all. But the Lord is good. He's in my life, definitely acted. And we'll see what happens with Hall Branch Church of Christ in Jacquinie. We'll see. Anyway, you know, I'm going to probably watch him today, and hopefully that guy won't be flat like he was last week. Hopefully. Here in a little bit. And I'll let you know if he's flat. See what else he does. Well, see what else happens there. So I hope everybody's having a good Church God Day today. And, you know, if you go to Celebrate Recovery, I hope you share your God story, too, and the testimony, because I do work with that, and I'm in that, and I'm in leadership at Harvest Church. And a good bunch of people over there. But we, you know, every church, all these churches need recruiting for Celebrate Recovery. If you go to a church where Celebrate Recovery is, you should try to recruit it. You know, if you're a member of it, if you don't even go to that church where you go to Celebrate Recovery, you should try to recruit it in your neighborhood, or if you know people that may be in need of some type of form of recovery, you know, refer them to your Celebrate Recovery where you go. It's not out of that. Just say, hey, you know, like invite a friend day. You know, I was just wondering if you'd like to go to Celebrate Recovery. It's really a nice place. They got, you know, good conversations, and you know, they have a good bunch of people over there that want to help you out, that can change your life. And why don't you come with me tonight and find out what it's all about, because there's a lot of good benefits there, and you get to meet new people there. You're not struggling alone. You're not in your problem alone, because you got the support of everybody in the group, and a lot of people there are friendly, and they love you, and they'll want to embrace you and want to be supportive in your recovery while you're supportive of their recovery. And that's how it works there at Celebrate Recovery, helping everyone out. So recruit that, you know. Different churches, they meet at different days and different nights, and different times during the week. You just have to find out where your Celebrate Recovery meets. And if some churches have dinners, and well, I'd say a lot of them have fellowship dinners before Celebrate Recovery starts. If you want to go to that, it may cost a few dollars. A lot of them usually do is that some may have you pay up front, while others may you just put it in the offering plate to pay for your supper. A lot of them mostly do that. But, you know, if they have that, then go ahead and do that. Take advantage of it. That way you can go there and meet some people and talk to them, and you can get to know some people. And, you know, and then also find opportunities to talk about yourself a little bit. And then you can also learn from other people how they deal with their struggles and hurts and hang-ups as well. And that's what it's all about, you know. Come to Celebrate Recovery and start in your recovery and celebrate in your walk and in your recovery. And the sooner you can, the more you can get on that road towards wholeness, being healed, and not feeling like you're a victim like society wants you to be. Because in Celebrate Recovery, we basically, you know, make you, we basically don't say you're a victim, we say you are in recovery. Because with Jesus, because Christ is the one that truly is the true therapist or therapy for all recovery. You know, he's the one that actually can really do that job to transfer your hurts, your hang-ups, and your addictions. Any other problems you might have that deal with recovery, other than if it's not any of those three, maybe some I didn't mention. But whatever it is, Celebrate Recovery is there for you to help you with that. Turnkey door to get you on the path to Christ, because only Christ, Jesus Christ, JC, that is, and only him, only Jesus alone, can actually heal you. You can't do it yourself. You know, so many people out here that are in like these vicious cycles, wash, rinse, and repeat, because they think they can handle it themselves. And we have a lot of people that go to Celebrate Recovery like that, thinking they can do it themselves, just go there and not talk. And a lot of people do that at first, but then some people, you know, open up, but they won't fully open up. And see, when you don't open up fully and start telling the truth about what's going on, you know, how in the world is recovery going to help you if you're not even being honest with the people when you're there in your group talking to them? You know, because a lot of people go there and just talk, but they're not really telling the truth at first. Because I was like that. And then eventually you open up and you start telling the truth. And that's when recovery starts to work and take hold and change your life. Because you got to be honest first with God and with yourself and also with others. And that's how recovery is transforming, how it starts to transform and take hold in your life. And that's where God can really deliver you from any hurt or all hurts and hang-ups and addictions. And that's really the secret behind Celebrate Recovery's That is a proven method, and it works. I'm one that can tell you and certify that Celebrate Recovery really does work, because the Lord is the higher power, and we always call him by his name or his title, Jesus Christ, because he's the one that really does the fixing in everyone's lives, including mine, and he could fix your life. But you have to allow him to be able to do that by first allowing him to come into your life and be a part of you. And you get involved in the church while you're going through this recovery thing. And that'll also help you too. So most people, when they go to Celebrate Recovery at first, that's probably their only outreach or hope. Because a lot of people that go there, probably more than two-thirds, probably have never gone to church or never even really considered it that way. Or they might be in a church, but they don't go, you know, regularly. Yeah, but most time it's people that don't even go to church. So the only way they hear about Jesus or hear any about God at all, predominantly, is only when they go to Celebrate Recovery. So that's like the, like I call a doorway or turnkey operation to get people eventually to go to church. Now, they don't necessarily have to go to the church where Celebrate Recovery is meeting, but you can if you like what they teach or what they believe and you feel comfortable there, you can go, because a lot of times some people that they get that actually end up going to church there. But you don't have to go to church there just because you go there for recovery. But you can, but you don't have to. You can go to a church that's separate from that too. You know, wherever you feel led, where Christ is, you know, leading you to go, that's really where you really should ultimately go. But you should not have to feel pressured or feel like you need to go to the church where Celebrate Recovery is, even though a lot of good people there, but you may believe something differently. So just listen to where the Holy Spirit is leading you to go, and just go where he's sending you to go, where you feel led to go. Okay? All right, love you all. Take care on this God Sunday, and God bless you all. I love you all. We'll be back with another broadcast. And have a great day. Take care. It's Michael DeSilva. Sign off on XM. Also on Facebook Live. And also on Spotify. And on all podcasting platforms where you can find us. And everyone, we're out there jamming every week. Putting out the hits and putting out all the latest news. And, of course, before I go, I think we ought to talk about this eclipse a little bit, because the news is really making a big deal about this, and a lot of it, they're trying to stir up all this unofficial fear and panic. I want to assure you, I don't think anything out of the ordinary is going to happen on April 8th, Monday, this April 8th on a Monday. I think it's just going to be an eclipse. However, the National Guard might be called in some areas because of the large crowds to help keep the crowd and keep the stuff down, but they're not going to be going into martial law or anything. They're just going to be there to help monitor and help control the crowds a little bit, because it'll be in most areas where the total eclipse is, it's going to be a whole lot of influx of people. So in those areas where the eclipse is, where most people will be, you might have phone service issues. You might have internet issues, because a lot more people will be on. That is, networks putting extra strain on those towers and on the networks, because there'll be a lot more people in your area. So, yeah, that could happen when you have large groups of people coming from other places to come to an event like this, such as the totality eclipse that'll be occurring on Monday, April 8th. So, yeah, that's the only reason, is out of caution. It's not because they're going to shut the internet off like some people are saying, which is not true, or they're going to shut the power off. However, power might have issues because of the large influx. The internet might cause some outages in some areas because of so many people more on those grids and on those internet pathways that are causing strains on the towers. Stop it, Kitty! On the towers that are in the area. And then, you know, that could cause that kind of stuff to happen. So anyway, don't be worried about it. It's just going to be, but you should be prepared for any in season anyway, because, you know, there'll be other things happening in the future that could be more like that eventually, if things continue to escalate the way they're going. As far as the eclipse goes, we can be sure and certain that we know that it's going to be, you know, a safe event mostly. And I don't think it's going to be about any wars or anything breaking out unless somebody is stupid and tries to do something, which would not be good for them. But as far as mostly all the other areas in this country, we should be a fairly quiet event. All right, everybody, have a good day, and we'll be back with more updates. Take care.